we're so thankful to have him here, and just give him your special attention, because he's going to have some great things to say this morning. Richard, you come on up, and let's give him a warm welcome.
The Lord is good. All the time. Amen. 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 I want to use the Cameroon way of greetings to say bonjour. Amen. Amen. That's right. I bring you greetings from my dear wife. I bring you greetings from brethren from Nigeria. I bring you greetings from Republic of Cameroon. I bring you greetings from Roseville Church of Christ, that may the Lord God continue to bless each and every one of you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
It really gladdens my heart this morning to be able to stand before this great congregation. I'm thanking my beloved friend, my brother, Brother Ed, for giving me this privilege and this opportunity to stand before you and to share the message of the kingdom. I really thank him and the wife and all the leadership of this congregation for this opportunity. Indeed, I'm so honored to be the first person, a very first guest speaker to ever stand here to speak. That's a story and a history that they that alone. And of course, for some who may not know me, my name is Richard Yang. For those that study the church history, you will know that if you want to study the church history in Africa, you will learn that my uncle, the late uncle, was the man who brought the Church of Christ into the whole West Africa through the Lawrence Avenue Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, after the Civil War. So my congregation in Nigeria is the very first congregation in the whole West Africa. So so I've been a missionary in so many countries. I've been a missionary in Cameroon, been a missionary in Nigeria before my family finally moved down to United States. And I remember when we moved to United States, people were crying that when we moved down here, we will not go back again to the work in Africa. They were crying. I told them, no, I will come back. They say, no, when you see the good living, the good life in America, you will forget about us, you will not come again. I said, no, I am going to look for partners. I'm going to look for the brethren who are so hearted to come and really share the work that the Lord has been called me to work, that I've been preaching for over 18 years. And being a minister with the Roosevelt Church of Christ. My brothers and sisters, this morning I would like to speak on, without wasting more time, to speak on the gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning from verses 14 down to verse 25. I would like somebody that can, willing to read that, please. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter, reading beginning from verses 15 down to 24. I think it's in the slide too. Any brothers, anybody can help me to read that, please?
When one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, my topic this morning, I would love to speak on the topic, heaven accept no excuse. Can you go to the slide, the next slide? Heaven accept no excuse. My brothers and sisters, but going back to the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginning of life, the book of beginning of families, the book of beginning of excuses, we learn the story of Adam and Eve, our first parent. Remember in the book of Genesis, God told Adam not to eat the forbidden tree, that the day that he ate that, he will surely die. But Adam, because of disobedience, he ate the forbidden tree. And looking into that, Genesis 3 verse 9, when the Lord God said to Adam, where art thou? Where are you? Instead of Adam to answer, to give an accurate answer, he began to make excuses. He said, oh, the wife you gave to me, that is the wife that made me to eat that forbidden tree. And now God looked at the woman and said, Eve, what is this? If instead of looking for a word, to repent, he then turned to look at the word to justify herself. I said, oh, because of the serpent. You get the genesis of excuses beginning from Adam to Eve, the wife, and then God looking at the serpent, said, none of them were able to justify. But God then pronounced the punishment to the serpent and the punishment to the woman and, of course, the punishment to man. My brother and sister, looking into the genesis of excuse, then we go back to the parable of the great banquet. The banquet, with the parable we just read from the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter, looking into verses number 15 down to 25, it says that a great man organized a banquet. And then at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to go and call those invited to come. What happened? The first person, they began to make excuses. The first person said, oh, I just bought a piece of land and I'm going to see that to that very day. And the servant had to go to the house, to the second person, and said, my master said, come, everything is ready. But the second person said, oh, I just bought 5 jokes of oxen. I want to go and test them. Please excuse me. And the servant had to go to the house of the third person. And the third person said, oh, I just got married. I'm not going to make it. My brother, what do you learn something from there? You go to the next slide. My brother, we look at the excuses that none of those people. Then the master was so upset and sent his servant to go into the city and invite the blinds, the crippled, the maimed, and all the people to come, and so that his house may be filled. My brothers, I'm speaking this morning that the owner of the banquet or the master of the banquet is nobody else than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the person, the servant there, no other person like the ministers of the gospel that going around to spread the message of the kingdom. And then the invitees there are the members of the church, various groups of people. My brothers and sisters, looking at the parable, Jesus was using that parable to illustrate the attitude of the members of his kingdom. Some, because of the things of this life, because of the material things, they have excuses not to do the will of God because of things. Now, over 150 games, all those kinds of things that are distracted people away from God. But brothers and sisters, people who gave excuses of not doing the will of God because of the material things, people will give excuse because of the wife, because of the family commitment, people will give excuse because of properties. But my brother, in all those, heaven will not accept any excuses. Going back to the next slide to see. Going back to the next one. As we're saying that heaven will not accept any excuse, so what will be our excuse, my brothers and sisters? when Jesus will come, what will you tell Jesus? He gave us the Great Commission. Go and make the disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will be with you to the end. But what would be the excuses, my brothers and sisters? What will you tell Jesus when Jesus will return? Go to the next slide, my brothers and sisters. I have a vision. My vision 2020. My vision 2020. If you look at the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 20 and verse 20, Apostle Paul has something for us this morning. Look at what he said. He said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and I have taught you publicly and from house to house. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ will not come until the gospel will reach every part of the world. We need to go house to house to preach the gospel. We need to go and preach publicly, and we have to go and do that and make the disciples of all nations. Go to the next slide. That is Vision 2020. My brothers, I want to apply this on African Cameroon missionary trip. I want to give you overview report of the work I've been working. It is not out of my power. It is not out of my strength. But God, when I grew up in my family, seeing everybody, all the young children, all the young people, they don't want to, you know, to preach the gospel. Everybody want to go into the secular field to become a doctors, engineers. When I went, as little as I was, people were laughing at me. I used to play soccer. When I go to the field to play the soccer, people will laugh at me. Say, look at this, you want to become a pastor. They will be mocking at me. But I did not. I did not quit or surrender. I continued to look at, after my uncle passed away, everybody died, and then gospel, nobody in the family. I said, I must go to continue to do the will of God. My brothers and sisters have been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. As we learned what I'm going to share with you, just the last year missionary trip, our missionary work report. Go to the next slide. We travel, three brothers, to Africa. Jason, you can see him, and IT, and myself. This is, we travel from Minneapolis, St. Paul, to Amsterdam in Europe. So where the Europe, we spend a day there before we cross over to Lagos. Go to the next slide. There, I did not waste time. We had to enter from the airport to the congregation that were ready to listen to the gospel. There in this congregation, I preached the gospel in Nigeria. Go to the next slide. Then we had to visit. This is my home congregation in Nigeria. You can see me standing there preaching the gospels. We have somebody to interpret. The interpreter, because I speak almost 8 languages. So somebody had to interpret. And then after that, we took a picture, a photograph. Then at that day, I sent out the invitation, see what happened. That is me preaching the gospel. They go to the next slide. And then there, at that same morning, we have Brother Dr. Thompson. He came from Tennessee on his vacation, during his 2 weeks vacation, to come and perform a free surgery. My brothers, you can see how people sacrifice their time and resources and energy. Instead of having that vacation with his family, with his wife, he sacrificed to come to the village in Nigeria. Look at the room. He was coming out of the theater that morning. My brothers and sisters in Africa, people don't have health insurance. So if you sick, if you don't pay all the money right away, the doctor will not perform no surgery. You have to die. But when you see how, it's not like here that we will call 911. They will take us to the hospital, and the doctor would not even ask for money first until they finish the treatment. But there, if you don't have money, you die. So people like Thompson came to perform the free surgery every year. So there, I met with him there in that congregation. So when I was preaching, I called. You can see people coming out, four souls came out to surrender their life to Jesus. Go to the next slide, see how we went to, and this is Brother David May. That is a man that is preaching this morning in Roseville. David May wrote so many books. He traveled with me to Nigeria. That was a year before. So David May was preaching in my congregation in Nigeria. Go to the next slide. Then the people came out, we had to go for baptism. My brothers and sisters, you look at me there. The temperature was almost 100 and something, 20 degrees. It was so humid. I was sweating. Then we had to, and there is no place for one to change up. Like, if somebody want to baptize, people will get into the room for privacy and change up. And my brother had to go inside the bush and change my clothes. Go to the next slide. Look at that. And after changing up, I had to go into the river. The water is not like you are so blessed to have a baptistry like this that you can baptize somebody without any. You need to walk over 8 miles to look for the river. And reaching there, you cannot even see the depth of the water. The water was so dark. And you need to enter the water with faith in God. To go and baptize you, my brother and sister, it requires faith in God. You go now and baptize the people, and the water, even though the water is not so clean, but that you bury them for the forgiveness of their sin. You bury them to be baptized. My brother and sister had to baptize those souls. At that day, you go to the next slide. That baptism, and people also require, because the congregation there were so poor, they don't have a good baptismal rope. They were asking, if you ask for churches there that can donate maybe a gown that people can wear to cover them to be baptized, that would be so amazing. And that baptism, go to the next slide. That same baptism, that same day, that was last year, go to the next slide. That same baptism there. After that, the church were praying, rejoicing, and then integrate those newly baptized souls to the local congregation. Go to the next slide. Yeah, that is me going after the baptism. I had to go back to the bush to clean up and dry myself, as you see there. Then before coming out, even in the midst of that, the temperature was so burning, it was so hot, so humid, and you were sweating and all that. So that was me trying, you know, wiping out all those. So go to the next slide. Then at the end of that, people were gathered, over 850 people. Go to the next slide. They look at them lining up, men and women, to receive sun reading glasses, to receive over-the-counter medications, to receive school supplies. So those poor people, my brothers and sisters, when people saw me giving those things, you know what they ask? He said, is that a politician? Is he want to go to Senate? Because even their own politician, they cannot provide this to people. They cannot even provide a good road network. But when they look at coming, giving people this, they were asking, this is the kind of person that we need to send to go to Senate. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not a politician. I'm only a servant of God. So look at people, go to the next slide, lining the people looking for reading glasses. My brother, that reminds me of Jesus said, you will do all these things. You will make the person that cannot see to see. My brothers and sisters, you make people to see. People can read the Bible, but they don't have the reading glasses. But those things go a long way to help so many people. People are donating that. People were rejoicing as if they are seeing Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, they were praying for the donors here in America. They were praying that God should continue to replenish your resources. Go to the next slide. I was overwhelmed. People were surrounded. You can see the crowd. Go to the next slide. Then after that, I had to go to the School of Bible where I was trained. We went there, my alma mater, Nigerian Christian Institute. They have a high school, they have a university, a college that train the Bible student. They have the secondary school, that is the middle school. Go to the next slide. So I was given opportunity to speak in the chapel, during the chapel. My brothers and sisters, that was my first time in my history to baptize 48 people at one time. Just preaching the gospel, you see people coming, lining up to accept Jesus the King. People were shouting to see Jesus. You see young men and women coming out to be baptized. Go to the next slide. Then I had to go to the next. My brother, I baptized those people till over past 10 o'clock in the night. I still do baptism. That, you see, I go to baptistry to perform that. Go to the next slide. That same baptism at the night. Go to the next one. People were lining out on the street. I was organized, publicly preaching to people, organizing group to speak to people. They go to the next slide. Then after that, the time for supper. They organize a traditional meal, African traditional meal. I don't know if some of you know fufu, so I had to eat that. I know my brother is aware of that. So go to the next slide. So yeah, they were giving us African dress. See how they give us in to reciprocate the gesture, to show the love and hospitality. They gave us the African dress. So we dress like them. We put on that. So that is what you see there. Then go to the next slide. Then in the midst of all that, I was also experiencing the heartbroken. A woman, a young girl of about 32 years old, was about to have a baby. Over 9 month pregnancy, the labor, she was in labor. And before they could rush her inside the village to the hospital, she was bleeding and the blood cannot stop. Before they reached the hospital, she passed away. And the husband is a minister, a preacher. So I was called upon to speak on that funeral. It was a heartbroken moment in my life to remind the people that this life is so temporary, that we need to prepare that someday we will meet the Lord. Some may not grow to the old age. When that appointment knock at your door, you can never say, oh, I want to call up. You need to answer. So I was reminding people about the call of life. So me preaching there in Nigeria, after that funeral, she died and leave a very little young baby for the dad. So we're still looking for help, take care of that baby. Then go to the next slide. That's still the funeral. I was preaching there in Nigeria. Then go to the next slide. That is Nigeria, then cross over to Cameroon. See what happened in Cameroon. Go to the next slide. My brothers and sisters, Cameroon is a neighboring country from Nigeria. During the 60s, Cameroonian experienced the influx of missionaries, both in America and Europe. They went there to Nigeria to preach the gospel. But because of the war, you see this man, his name is Wendell Broom. He's one of the professors in Abilene Christian University. He worked, this man worked with my father. My father is an elder now in the church in Nigeria. This man was sent to plant for church planting in Nigeria. But because of the war, civil war in Nigeria in the 60s, he crossed over to Cameroon. He ran to Cameroon, neighboring country, to escape the war. It was three of them. When he went to Cameroon, he planted congregation. He was the first person who planted the church in Cameroon. So when I came to US, I had to look for him because he used to come to my father's house when I was very little. So I went right to his home in Abilene, in Texas. So that is Brother Wendell Broom, but he passed away last year. So that is him now. I'm giving you a brief history of the Churches of Christ in Cameroon. So when he went to Cameroon with three other Nigerians, they planted congregations in the English-speaking region. You know, Cameroon made up of 10 states. Out of the 10 states, like America is 50 states, correct? So out of the 10, two are English-speaking, while the eight are French-speaking. So he was primarily working in the English-speaking region. He planted the congregation, baptizing a lot of souls. But after the war in Nigeria, some of those missionaries returned back to Nigeria Winderbroom and others returned back to state, they left the congregation like a sheep without the shepherd. So all their works they've labored for so many years die out. So they need to establish a brand new work. After my graduation in the School of Bible, I had to, they were begging like the Macedonian call, please come and help us. I did not have any supporter. They did not have anybody to send me to make papers for me to go and preach the gospel. But my own mom got a piece of yard and told my dad. My dad said, we don't have money. My mom said, we need to sell a yard, sell a piece of land and make his papers to go to come around and preach the gospel. So they cut the piece of land and sell it and make my international passport and make everything. And that is how I left for Cameroon. I did not have any support. I would be preaching, baptizing people, and people would turn back to feed me, to give me food, physical food. So go back to the next slide, my brothers and sisters. Then this is Cameroon. I show you the map. This is African map. Cameroon is in that Central and West Africa. Look at that. Go to the next one. That is a state, as I said, made up of 10 states, as you can see. And this is where I started the work there. Go back to the next slide. Those are the areas that I covered. The northern part are made up of Muslims, are speaking French. So they need a lot of work over there, because the people there, the majority, are not hearing the gospel. Go to the next slide. So these are the areas I cover. Go to the next. I work in Bamenda. Bamenda is a northwest region. Go to the next one. Kumba, Limbe. Those are the southwest region. Go to the next one. That is the Western Bafoussam. The sister was talking this morning about the medical missions. That is the city she worked. That sister, they work in that. She told me about that. So that is the area I also work. And we speak French and English. Go to the next slide. Douala is economic capital, where they have seaport and all that. Go to the next slide. Then Yaoundé are the capital city of Cameroon, just like Washington, D.C. So these are the areas. So we still need to reach to the other five region or five state. So that is why I'm going, you know, every year to see how I can continue to expand the borders of Christ's kingdom. Go to the next slide. So in out of the question is, why Cameroon now? The opportunity for Great Commission, look at the Christians, about 40%. Look at the Muslim at 20%. Other belief, African traditional beliefs and believers, and some of those people who do not even believe in God are made up of. So we need to get to reach out to expand the borders of Christ's kingdom so that the gospel will reach everywhere. The light of the gospel will shine from shore to shore. Go to the next slide. We can only accomplish this vision 2020 through the church planting, through supporting the local preachers, through the medical missions or assistance, like over-the-counter medication and so on and so forth. We can help to build up a strong and self-sustainable congregations across Cameroon at the period of time to moving people to depend on American support, but they can grow up to be self-supporting by the grace of God. So my vision that I can build up a group of young preachers who can be using their hands to walk and then support themselves within the period of time by God's grace, and they can be on their own. Go to next slide. My brothers and sisters, we can do that by doing church planting, strengthening the churches in Cameroon, leadership training, providing financial assistance, and supplying the Bibles and songbooks that people can hear more about Jesus Christ. Go to the next slide. This is me, the mission in Cameroon. When I arrived there, my brother, it was scary because I did not have enough money to take flight. I did not have enough money to fly. I take a plane there. I had to go to the Atlantic Ocean. I look at the boat. And that boat, you see the number of people going into that small little boat. It was very, very scary. You know what my wife told me? He said, if you want to go this time, you better get life insurance. Because I did not even get insurance. I did not even get anything. I just go. My brothers, go to the next slide. Only have faith in God. Reaching Cameroon, I did not waste time. I had to train the young men and women on how to handle, to lead the church leadership. That is why you see the leadership seminar. I had to teach them for 5 days, and I have to provide one lunch for each day for all of them, because some of them are poor farmers from villages coming up. I need to feed them for 1 day. Then go to the next slide. Those are the team of people that I'm training to help to follow me to those villages to preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel from house to house, preaching the gospel publicly. And go to the next slide. And people were gathered in the street, in the market area, for me to preach the gospel to the crowd. People were listening. And that reminds me of Marshall Kipple. When I learned about the great man in America that was preaching the gospel there and baptized thousands, I was so inspired to do the same. Continue, go to the next slide. Going, preaching, baptizing people even in the midnight. That is a night I had to go to the water to baptize people. Go to the next slide. Going there, the water was so fast, running so fast, but I need to go there and bury people for baptism. Go to the next slide. That is baptism in Cameroon. Go to the next slide. People were giving their life to Jesus. Go to the next slide. That is still in Cameroon. Go to the next slide. We're giving people over-the-counter medications, clothing, some poor women in the village. They were so happy to receive those humanitarian gestures. Go to the next one. Those are the clothing. Go to the next one. These little children in school were so happy to receive pencils and school supplies. It was amazing that they were so rejoicing. Look at the widow. The widow there were receiving some pain medications, over-the-counter Tylenol, ibuprofen, and that is what, go to the next slide. That is the church I'm preaching there in Cameroon. Go to the next one. Preaching, baptizing so many people there in Cameroon. Go to the next slide. Giving people reading glasses. They were so happy. A lot of joy for people to receive that. Go to the next slide. Those are the glasses given out for reading glasses. Go to the next one. Giving them toothbrushes and all that. Go to the next slide. Giving them the Bibles that we bought here and shipped down there to give people for free, the newly baptized people, to have something to read about God. Go to the next slide. I will be using motorbike because of the bad roads to go inside the villages. My brothers and sisters, it's not a vacation. It's not a fun trip. It's a huge sacrifice that really takes heart to do that. I need to go there. Go to the next slide. I had to go and visit. This is the first congregation that received me in Cameroon. So I went back to visit them. Go to the next slide. I preached in that congregation. Go to the next slide. Giving women reading glasses and Bibles. Go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. Then this is another thing that really need a call for help. A woman in that congregation organized orphanage. And they call Sister Dinah. She have this place, but something that is so pathetic is that look at where the children, those orphans were living. Go to the next slide. Look at this. So when it calls, there is no window. They just put the wire there. So the children, they were crying for help that they can even put window in their houses. Go to the next slide. Look at the widows there. I mean, the children there that is orphans, that their fathers, some of them lost their fathers by Boko Haram. They call this a terrorism. Some die on sickness and HIV and AIDS. Go to the next slide. The children were looking for even clothing. They were there suffering abject poverty. Go to the next slide. They were there very poor, looking for help. Go to the next slide. Then this is the woman that gathered them together and put them in one place. They don't even have good drinking water. They were looking to drill even a well for them to get water. So I had to go there to give the woman over-the-counter Tylenol medications and school supply for these children. That is the woman I'm greeting. Go to the next slide. You can see me giving the medicine that the people are donating from here. Go to the next slide. And look at the school supply I have to give to them. They were so praising God and happy. So the woman is doing an excellent job by taking care of this, putting those children together and feeding them. Go to the next slide. My brothers, coming toward the end, Jesus said this in the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, looking into verses number 35 to 30, he said, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." And going to verse number 35, he said, and I quote, "Then said he unto his disciple, the harvest truly plenteous, but the laborers are few." He said, "Pray ye the God of harvest that he should send forth laborers into his harvest." My brothers, the call in Cameroon really need, there is no way a single individual can meet the growing demand of assistance. The older I've become, I've still realized that the work is really enormous, that we need more hands. If you use one single broom, you cannot be able to sweep the floor. You need a group of broom in order to be able to sweep. Go to the next slide. The question is, how can you help? There is a pressing need for many more congregations and families, individuals, the opportunity to help in this field of endeavors. You can consider helping financially, as Brother Ed was already said. You can even use your own vacation to come and see this by yourself one time. You can even look for, in fact, whatever, as the Bible said in the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, beginning from verses 18, "Therefore, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." He said, how can they call on the one that they've never believed? How can they believe without somebody preaching to them? How can somebody preach to them unless you send the preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the gospel of salvation. My brother, we need to move and preach the gospel of salvation. Go to the next slide. Jesus said this. Go. He said, you need to divide and share. To the next one. He said, I was hungry and you fed and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. My brothers and sisters, people say, when did I see you, the Lord, being in jail or being hungry? He said, inasmuch as you doing this to one of my elect, you are doing it unto me. My brothers and sisters, we go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. My brothers and sisters, as the parable this morning, the danger is that we should not allow our individual affairs, in our individual business, to cut us from the work of the Lord. We should prioritize and we should put as priority, because heaven will not accept any excuse. My brother and sister, go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. What excuse are we going to give to the Lord? Jesus is coming and is knocking. What will you tell the Lord? Go to the next slide. That is me coming back from Cameroon through this, the ferry, the ship, going back there to Nigeria. Go to the next slide. And this is the last. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, verse 19 said, Paul said to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertainty riches, but the living God who gave us richly all things to enjoy. In verse 18, he says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. My brothers, I want you to go with this story. I had one story to share before I leave this place. There was one man, the master, who stayed in the 7-story building. And the man stayed up at the 3rd-story building. He dropped down $20. He was trying to reach his laborers downstairs. He shouted to the laborers. They were busy doing one thing or the other. The man shouted. They were busy doing
So the man tried to draw their attention. So he could not. So what he did was he removed a $20 and dropped down to their head. The $20 drop on their head. They just look at the money and picked the money. They don't even look at the source of that money. They took the money and put it in their pocket. The man said, man, because of the $20 may be small, he dropped $50 into their head. The money fell on their head and dropped down. They picked the money and pocketed it. They did not even look at the source where the money came from. The man said, maybe the money is narrow. He threw down 1,000. Down. They pick the money. They pick the money and pocket the money. They don't even still look up to see the source of that who dropped the money. The man, the supervisor, said, what should I do now? He said, okay, let me do this. He threw down a piece of stone.
A piece of stone into their head.
When the piece of, he dropped the piece of stone into their head. When they saw the stone, they then look up. My brother, what am I saying? The master, the employer I'm talking about there is no other person but our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the laborers. And Jesus has given us, some are given little gift. Some are given average. Some are given more. But then we get all those things, without even thinking the source. Who is the provider? Who is giving us all those things? My brothers and sisters, Apostle Paul in his letter to Christian in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 9, he said, my Lord will supply. He's not saying give. He said he will supply all your needs according to riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I'm saying that the story goes this way. Jesus has given us everything. We pack all those things. We don't even think of the source. Some we think that it is because of our strength that we acquire all the blessings. No. Some, we don't even remember Jesus Christ until the stone of sickness. Until the little stone of sickness dropped on our head. Then we don't run to Jesus. We don't look into Jesus then. Many look unto Jesus when things are tough in our lives. When things are going bad. When sickness are troubling our bodies. When people are rejected. When we are being rejected. When there seems to be no way of escape. When things are very tough, that is when we will remember Jesus Christ. My brother and sister, think about the wonderful price that Jesus paid on the cross for the sake of humanity. So you need to do that and reciprocate that to others. I work for Walmart as one of the managers, as a secular job to support my family and support myself. But when I look at what the Sam Walton, the owner of Walmart, said, he said, when two individuals come together, they can overcome any difficulties and render a positive result. I've been working tirelessly. My wife are working so much to work and take this missionary work as personal. But then I cannot reach where I'm supposed to reach. That's why I'm reaching out to each and every one of you. Anything that you can help, nothing is little. And God will bless you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for opportunity. May God bless you. Thank you. Yeah.